Chelek Tezayin Parshas Mishpatim Sicha Aleph. The Rebbe begins the Sicha with an oft-mentioned idea that the name of a Torah portion, which over the generations used now with a weight of Torah, highlights the content of the Torah portion in its entirety. And so the name of this week's Torah portion, Mishpatim, must allude to the inner content of all the ideas covered in the Parsha to the very last verse. In that case, there are a few things that need explaining. The Rebbe asks three very involved questions. While it's true that the biggest portion of the Parsha deals with the laws of Torah, the end of the Parsha talks about preparing for Matan Torah, and Moshe's going up on the mountain to receive the Luchos. These things don't seem to have any connection to the idea of Mishpatim, to Torah mandates and laws. As well, Mishpatim are laws that are the mitzvahs that are intellectually relatable. Man can apply his logic to these ordinances. But the Nasa V'Nishma discussed at the end of the Parsha, we will do and hear, declared by the entire nation, runs contrary to the very idea of Mishpatim, which are mitzvah sichlies, logical, rational commandments. So the end of Parsha's Mishpatim isn't just different in nature to the name of the Parsha, it's the exact opposite. And not just the end of the Parsha challenges this idea of rational law as the content of Parsha's Mishpatim, but among the laws in the Parsha, there are mentioned as well mitzvahs that are not rational prohibitions, the prohibition of not cooking a calf in its mother's milk, the prohibition of basar b'chol, of separating meat and milk. And that is not a logic-based mitzvah at all. In fact, it's a chayk, it's a statute. The Rashi on Ve'elah HaMishpatim, in which Rashi questions the Ve'elah and these, brings an explanation from the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol comments and says, Ve'elah HaMishpatim, and these are the laws, means these that follow on the previous ones. The previous ones means the Parsha where we received the Torah. Just as the earlier laws were from Sinai, Af Elu, these two were given at Sinai. Chassidus explains Af Elu, these two, to mean that these two, these rational laws, must be kept just as those given at Sinai, because they are commanded by God, and not because they sit comfortably in human logic. Accordingly, perhaps, we can seemingly explain why specifically this Parsha, with the name Mishpatim, contains the event of the Jews at Matan Torah calling out Nasa V'Nishma, as well as the prohibition of Basar B'Cholov, in order to hint to the fact that Mishpatim, too, in their essence, transcend the intellect, just like Basar B'Cholov, which is a chayk, a statute, beyond reason, and these must be done with fear of heaven and acceptance of the divine word, represented by the declaration of Na'aseh V'Nishma at Sinai, where all mitzvahs were accepted in the spirit of Chuko Chokakti, explained in Bamidbar Rabba, the Medrash on Chumash Bamidbar, that the performance of a chayk is for no other reason than Chuko Chokakti, Hashem has said, I engraved a rule. But, in fact, says the Rebbe, for several reasons, we cannot explain things this way. One reason is that because the source Rashi brings from the Mechilta that says Af Elu Mi Sinai, these two are from Sinai, brings another opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who teaches that Elah HaMishpatim, these are the Mishpatim that were said, are the Mishpatim that were said in Morah, before the giving of the Torah. And this explanation is actually the explanation that is quoted in Medrash Rabbah, that tells us that the emphasis on the word ve'ela is not that these, like those, were given at Sinai, but rather they were given, these were given in Morah. And so we adhere to them in the same, not that we adhere to these mitzvahs in the same way as we adhere to the ones in Sinai, but rather they were given in Morah. That's the ve'ela. This explanation removes that possibility. And see, we go back to our question. Why is the entire Parsha called Mishpatim when it contains what looks like anything but in the context of the Torah portion? Even with Rashi's explanation that also the parts of Torah that are rational, the Mishpatim, are from Sinai and should be kept like they are from Sinai, cannot explain away the fact that the name Mishpatim given to the Parsha is about the essence of a Mishpat, which is a mitzvah that appeals to the rational mind. In fact, that the entire parsha is called Mishpatim gives us the opposite message, that these chukim, like the prohibition of mixing meat and milk, and the overall idea of nasa preceding nishma, action preceding comprehension, are also essentially about mishpatim, about rationale, about the human being finding rationale for these. And that's why these things are mentioned in a parsha called Mishpatim. The Rambam, in fact, states in Hilchos Torah that all the statutes in Torah are divine decrees. One should ponder the mitzvahs and seek to find whatever reason one can apply. There's something else we need to consider. If Af Elu Misinai means to say these two are from Sinai, and thus this follows Parshas Yisrael, the order of the Parshias seems unusual. Surely, the primary achievement of Matan Torah isn't about the rational mitzvahs one may be able to think of on one's own, but rather, the innovation at Sinai was that the mitzvahs transcend the rational, mitzvahs like Eidus, the Yomim Tovim, Shabbos, and the Chukim, because Mishpatim would have been something that man would self-impose even without God's express command. They're sensible for the human condition and for society to sustain and perpetuate itself. The Gemara actually says just that in Maseches Yuma, that b'mishpatei teilechu means that these laws should, even if they had not been written, by logic it would be determined that they should be written. Certainly, according to the Ramban, the laws that are considered the laws of justice or just living, laws about theft, financial issues between people, laws governing the paying of laborers, borrowing and lending, are all indeed in the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, which were given long before the Torah was given. In which case, we've already been commanded to do these mitzvahs. The giving of the Torah wasn't about these laws. The giving of the Torah was specifically about the miraculous. Hashem descended onto Sinai and spoke to us. We saw the lightning. We heard the thunder. Hence, a revelation beyond the human mind and intellect. So following this revelation at Sinai, it would seem appropriate that we would be studying Chukim. Why does the Torah specifically deal with Mishpatim, which we have been keeping and were aware of even before Matan Torah? Of course, according to the first opinion of Chazal, we must ensure that Af Elu Misinai, that Mishpatim are kept in the spirit of Sinai. But these are yet Af Elu Misinai. It would be primarily the Chukim, which are in their source the reason for Matan Torah, the mitzvahs which it would seem should be taught right after Matan Torah. What's more puzzling is that at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we go back to talking about things that happened before and right after Matan Torah, whereas the details of the Mishpatim were actually discussed and taught quite a bit later. Ela HaMishpatim really seems to be in a disorder of time as events unfolded, certainly when we consider the fact, as mentioned earlier, that the Medrash teaches that Mishpatim were taught long ago in Mara, way earlier. All of this brings us to some conclusions. Clearly, though Matan Torah was about a revelation that transcended seichel and rational human thought, nevertheless, somehow Matan Torah and what it is all about is expressed through the Mishpatim, through the rational element of mitzvahs man connects to with his seichel. On the other hand, this order or disorder that we are observing teaches us something profound, that the rational must be followed by the transcendent. Hence, we go back to Matan Torah at the end of the Parsha, and this return itself is an aspect of the idea of what are called and what are the essence of Mishpatim. Let's understand these points by exploring an explanation of the Shalach HaKadosh, Rabbi Shaya Horowitz, on the words in Parshas B'Shalach, Zekeli va'anvehu Elekei Avi V'ra'im Mimenu, which was said in the Song of the Crossing of the Sea. This is my God, and I will gratify him. He is the God of my fathers, and I will exalt him. The Shaloh HaKadosh explains Zekeli to mean that God is Keli, my personal God, when I can grasp and understand. And that grasping and understanding makes us into a Ve'anvehu. We have a relationship, taking the word Ve'anvehu, and I will gratify him to mean or to be a significant symbol of two words, Ani Vehu, I and he with a capital H, God, are bound and united because I grasp godliness within my heart. But when I can't grasp or understand godliness, when I only have a God who is passed down through the generations, and my relationship is based on the fact that he is the God of my father, then it is a relationship of Va'arei Mimenu. I will exalt God, but from a distance, and the connection I have to God is concealed within my heart. So in addition to the faith we have that is passed down from generation to generation, father to son, there must also be a knowing of God. Though faith, and through faith, emunah, Hashem remains above, which leaves man with a sense of distance. But through study, understanding, and grasping God, there is a sense of closeness. This is understood as well from the words Da es Elokei Avicha. The only way for there to be a real relationship for a person with God is when he, on his own, experiences a da'as, a knowing, which leads to the da'as, the bond. The Rebbe asks an interesting question. If emunah, passed through the generations, isn't enough, then should the pasuk, according to these explanations of the shaloh, not have been written in a reverse order? First, the pasuk should say, the verse should say, Elokei Avi V'ra'im Mimenu, God, the God of my fathers, and I will exalt him. And then Zekeli V'anvehu, then he becomes my God, and I will experience that bond. It will be Ani V'hu. That sounds like the progression we're talking about. It would seem that this could be answered by the common explanation that even after one anchors one's faith in personal knowledge and awareness, there must be, and there is always room for faith, which of course transcends intellect. As God is Ein Sof, without limitation or end, as far as one can go with intellect, it just never reaches the beyond intellect experience that comes through emunah. And indeed, hence the order of the pasuk, or the where faith follows and sustains reason. But this doesn't explain why we don't mention the faith that comes before reason, the foundation of reason, the faith of Elokei Avi, the faith of the experience of faith being passed down from generation to generation, which must precede the Da, which must precede the Da, the Zekeli. We can understand this in the following way. The purpose of Matan Torah was to remove the decree that separated Elyonim, higher worlds, and Tachtonim, lower worlds. The divine from limited consciousness, so that Elyonim, higher, and Tachtonim, lower worlds, became bound. Not so that the lower reality becomes nullified and becomes a higher reality, but that this lower dimension becomes raised and elevated and bonded to the higher. For this reason, it wasn't sufficient that Elyonim descended to Tachtonim with Hashem's descent onto the mountain, but also Tachtonim needed to be elevated to Elyonim, and this elevation is brought down in the Medrash Shmeis Rabbah before we read of the descent of Elyonim, though in fact, first Elyonim descended to Tachtonim. Beginning this process, Hashem says, Ani HaMaschil, I will begin this process of descent to precede the ascent of lower worlds, this descent impacting and facilitating an ascent. An ascent and which at the same time required a nullification of the bonds of reality of Tachtonim, reality that caused a nation to tremble before God's presence. As the verse in Yisrei tells us, the nation saw and trembled and stood from afar. And even the mountain, nature trembled, creation stood still and was silent. All in order, so that the purpose of Matan Torah could be carried out, that the worlds, as a construct of the physical, of the lower domain, could experience being unified with higher worlds, a unification that required the effort of lower world to rise to higher worlds. And on the other hand, this nullification had to come through God's descent onto the mountain to empower lower reality to ascend. These two ideas of Elyonim descending and Tachtonim ascending are reflected in man's personal divine service of emuna, faith, and hasaga, grasping through intellect, that which we discussed, the mishpatim and the chukim, experience of Torah. Faith is bestowed upon a person. It does not come through man's effort. It is, as the Shalom HaKadosh says, a kabbalah, ish mi pi ish. It is received from another. And therefore, even if a person is filled with faith and his faith illuminates his days, there still lacks a unity, a sense of bonding with God. He remains awed from a distance. Only when a person labors to understand godliness, an effort that comes from him, not that is passed down to him, is his very existence affected and united with the divine. Yet, emunah is the foundation and the preparation for the intellectual effort, as the Elyonim Yardu LaTachtonim is the preparation for the Tachtonim Ya'alu LaElyonim. The higher descended to the lower as a preparation for the lower to ascend to the higher. Why is this so? Why is emunah needed to prepare for seichel, to bond with God? Because seichel is likely or liable to err. The error, a result of the natural human condition called self-love. Self-love can sway a person's thoughts from truth. And so this work must be based upon a foundation that is immutable. Ahavas Hashem and Kabbalas Oil. Love of God and the acceptance of God's divine word. Now we can understand the order of the parshiyos. Yisrei preceding Mishpatim. Yisrei is the parsha of Matan Torah, given from above, the descent of higher to lower, revealing a strong faith in the Jewish nation, a faith that is expressed in bittul, in the nullification of reality, in the humbling of the people. But after the revelation of Elyonim, Parshas Yisrei and Matan Torah, the work of Tachtonim begins with an elevation that bonds lower worlds and higher, creation and the divine. And this is Mishpatim, rational mitzvahs where divine intellect bonds with human consciousness and creates a yichud nifla, a wondrous union, allowing for a complete fusion with divine intellect. And this is the purpose of Matan Torah. This idea can also help us understand the difference between Af Elu Mi Sinai, these two are from Sinai, which as Rashi explains it, the intention of the verse is to help us realize that just as the Chukim are Sinaiic, so too are the Mishpatim, because God said so, and not because of the rational mind. And the explanation of the Medrash that Eila HaMishpatim Mora Ne'emru, these laws were said already at Mara. Rashi's explanation that at the beginning of the process of study, while one is yet learning Pshat, the Nefesh HaBahamis still rules. While studying Pshat, one does not yet understand godliness or grasp the nature of Ahavas Hashem or Yiras Hashem. He isn't there yet. His Seichel at that level cannot yet commit him to divine service. as man at that level of study is still functioning from his nefesh habamis. At this level, he must know that af elu mi Sinai. He must do mishpatim because God said so at Sinai, on a trembling mountain to a trembling people, with lightning that sounded and thunder that flashed fire and caused the people to shed their bond to lower reality. In man's service, what this looks like is the idea brought in the Gemara that says that man should always agitate his Yetzer Tov over his Yetzer Hara. He should allow his Nefesh Elikis to shout at and be angered at his Nefesh HaBahamis so that it loosens its hold on the Jew. Now, once a person is starting to study Drush in Torah, studying Torah with deeper understanding, and he begins to feel an Avas Hashem and a Yirata Hashem, where his Beinonus, deep contemplation of God, becomes an aspect of his study, then he should fulfill the mitzvahs from that advanced point. And at that point, which, having already experienced the bittul of the first stage of study, he can fulfill the mitzvahs because Seichel mandates this, as though the mitzvahs were given at Mora. Even though, looking at the parshias and their order, the Medrash agrees that the order must be that Mishpatim follows Yisrei and doesn't precede it, and the reason is because Yisrei lays the foundation of Emuna, that understanding must be built upon a foundation of faith. And yet, the Avoda of Mishpatim is Hasaga, the work of the intellect, because that is man's obligation to take that faith-based relationship and through the effort of study, make it his own. This will help us understand an insight into a Rambam in Shmoneh Prokim, which is a commentary on what Chazal say. Chazal say a person should not say, I don't want to do an Avera. Rather, one should say, I do want to do this, but I'm not because what choice do I have? My Father in heaven has decreed that I not do it. This, says the Rambam, is only regarding Chukim. But when it comes to Mishpatim, a person should not say, I want to do this, because that would suggest that the individual is a very lowly person. But we discussed how Chassidus teaches that even those commandments that make sense to us should be performed because God commanded us in this way, just like Chukim. So we understand this in the following way. There must be a foundation of acceptance of Hashem's will in the performance of mitzvahs, because we cannot and dare not depend only on our seichel and regish. And this is a very important idea that the Rebbe introduces to us. My seichel can be swayed by how I feel on any given day. So depending on one's seichel alone, one cannot, because then the essence of it all is missing. That what I am doing is avodas Hashem. It must be divine service, based upon the foundation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. On the other hand, these very mishpatim should totally become one through understanding with one's consciousness, taking ownership of the mitzvahs, becoming so much part of him that indeed the possibility of an avera is really iafshi, is really disgusting to him. Now, even though we've said that there is an advantage in knowing God through grasping God via intellect and reason, since intellect is limited, the bond with the oneness of God in this way will have the limitations of his intellect and within his intellect. So how do we transcend that limitation without destroying the reality of man? This is the experience of Elokei Avi Varamimenu that follows the Zeke Livan Vehu. That faith of Elokei Avi, of the God of my fathers, a faith handed down through the generations from our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is a power and strength of faith that comes from above. It's not about our effort at all. So once man experiences through intellect, through study, through the hard work of grasping God for himself, the work of Zeke Livan Vehu, This is my God because we are bounded. The transcendent aspect of faith, the Ve'arememenu, continues to pulsate within his existential reality. This is who he is as a Jew. And so though his intellect is limited, the essence of his being is not. And this bond permeates him, but doesn't nullify him. Hence the reason why the conclusion of Parshas Mishpatim is about the Na'asa V'Nishma of Matan Torah. Because when we are performing through the point of Mishpatim, where Seichel, man's intellect, is united with divine intellect, even the Chukim become like Mishpatim, man remains in his existent reality. Just as we experience Matan Torah first, Parshas Yisrei first, a revelation from above higher than reality, and then the work of Mishpatim follows. And within Mishpatim, the two levels of just the Mishpatim, rational mitzvahs, predicated upon the miracles and revelations of Matan Torah, and then Chukim, like Basar B'cholov mentioned in the Parsha, and the Na'asa V'Nishma mentioned at the end, becoming manifest in the reality and the consciousness of man without nullifying him, so too was the revelation of Teiras HaChassidus. First, there was the revealing of Chassidus that transcended logic, that was not enclosed in reality of the human experience, which was revealed through the Baal Shem Tov, whose emphasis was on faith, the faith of a Jew via the conduit of his relationship with the Tzaddik. But the goal of Chassidus was that one's own seichel, one's very intellect, and thereby one's love of God and fear of God, be permeated with this understanding. And so Chabad Chassidus, through the Alter Rebbe, affected this change in development, that every person should and can understand and be permeated and impacted and affected in this way. This is what Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev meant when he said about the Alter Rebbe, "We all ate from the same serving bowl," and the Litvak, a reference to the Alter Rebbe, took the choicest part, because Chabad Chassidus accomplished this goal of one's being in reality experiencing godliness in such a way that he remains an existent Metzius, but elevated to Elyonim, like Mishpatim takes Yisrei and makes it personal. Once man has a grasp of godliness, the experience of Ani Vehu Dvukim Biyachad, I and he, God, are connected, attached, bonded together, the Zeh Keli Va'anvehu, then even when he has come to a point of understanding, that in fact the point of all he understands is that he will never truly know God, even what he knows is really beyond his grasp, Chassidus makes all of the beyond imminent. And the Rebbe concludes, and through this enormous effort in grasping Torah generally, and the effort in one's study of Chassidus Chabad in particular, may we merit the study of Teiras HaMashiach as a complete image, so that Hashem is revealed to us and all mankind can experience the Word of God.